Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. Now, I am in Matthew chapter number 27. Today, Brother Gordon read my text in Sunday school class. I am in Matthew 27 and verse 57 is where I'm at today. And I pray this will be a help to you. Now, I know it is Resurrection Sunday. I understand that. And we are going to preach about that. But about 2 weeks ago, the Lord put this on my heart, and I just couldn't get away from it. And I was kind of like Brother Randall this morning. Wow, what a sunrise service, by the way. I'm glad there's a little paint left on the wall. He preached most of it off this morning. But I went through three or four different studies and trying to get this thing in order, and I pray that this will be a help to you today, that God will bless it. I am in Matthew 27, verse 57. If you're there, shout amen. Amen. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. Father, we love you, and I thank you for this day. And for the good singing this morning, God, for the spirit in which we feel in our hearts today, I bless you for being here. I begged you to manifest your presence. And my, how you've answered my prayer. Now I pray, Lord, you'd fill my mouth. You would guard my tongue. You would preach me, Lord, with accuracy inside the bounds of this holy writ. I'm praying you would touch the hearts, God, in a congregation this size. Surely there's someone here today that don't know you as Lord and Savior. I'm praying, God, you'd save one or two or ten today. Help me preach like a dying man to dying people. Do what you do for your glory. I'll praise you for it all. And I ask it in the name of my King. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. I want to preach on this thought this morning. Time in the tomb. Time in the tomb. We hear a lot about the crucifixion. We hear a lot about the resurrection. We don't hear much about time in the tomb. I've got your attention now, I can tell. Time in the tomb. I'm going to try to be accurate in the scripture today. I believe this to be the infallible word of God. You can't talk me out of it. I won't change my mind. I don't need another version. I'm satisfied with the one I've got. I'm happy in the Lord, and the Lord is in me. And the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I'm not confused about that. Folks can talk, do whatever they want to do, but I'm satisfied with what I've got. I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. There's a day coming. That is the day of death, the day of judgment, the day of the rapture. Whatever and whichever aspect it comes in my life, he may call us all out together. He may come and get me by myself one at a time. I don't know, but I'm satisfied that I'm in Christ and he is in me. I don't lay around wondering about it, what's going to happen here. I'm just going to be honest today. There's some things I hope that doesn't happen, but there's some things I'm sure of that are going to happen. And I'm glad that I know that my Redeemer liveth. Job, the earliest writings of the Bible, they think, one of the earliest writings of the Bible. And Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that at the latter day he'll stand upon the earth. And though the skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. You know what that speaks of? Resurrection. He didn't know anything about a resurrection. He didn't know anything about the Son of God. He had not the writings that we have today. And yet, somehow by the Spirit of God, he believed in a resurrection of the body. How do we have that hope today? We have it because of what we celebrate in this day. It is this day. It is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times there was about a 5-week span when we had 4 funerals every Saturday here and one on a Friday, or I was involved in another funeral somewhere, and if I could have, I would have walked down to that box and said, get up out of that box, but there's only one that ever got up on his own accord. His name was Jesus. I picked this scripture here particular because it said this, he laid him in his own new tomb. That tomb was for Joseph. Joseph knew that he was going to die one day. You know, people are under the impression they're going to just live forever on this earth. Or they say, don't talk. I don't want you to talk about that. Here's what I'm going to tell you today, good friend. It's appointed unto man wants to die. The death, listen, death is chasing you as fast as he can. One of these days, you're going to stop. He's going to catch you. And something's going to happen. You're going to die, and you are going to depart this soul, this spirit of mine. The spirit gives life. The soul is what Christ said, was what he saved. And it's going to go of one of two places. According to the scripture, everything I'm saying today is based on the scripture. This isn't something I just dreamed up. I believe what that book says. And we fall off into a place of torment. The Bible refers to it as hell, but in the original Bible, the word hell wasn't in the Hebrew and the Greek. The hell that we see translated in hell in English language is this. It is something, it means in Old English to heal or to cover something up. This is relevant today. In the Old Testament, it was Sheol. In the New Testament, it was Hades. It's referring to this, the place of the dead. Now, some things occurred. People want to debate this very thing today. They want to say, Jesus, if you do much study and reading, here's what they say. I'm preaching on time in the tomb, and they concerning the crucifixion of Jesus, they say, what day? What day did it happen? R.A. Torrey has a pretty good argument for it being on a, he thinks it was on a Wednesday. There was other feast days. Passover was dependent upon the moon and a certain day of the month. It didn't depend upon what we consider to be Easter now or on a Saturday Sabbath. It was when that day of the month and that moon lined up and they would have what they call Passover. And it was a day, it was another type of Sabbath or a Sabbath day where you couldn't work. So he gives a pretty good argument to when it was, but it falls apart on this. Paul said it like this, he rose the third day. So you let the scripture define the scripture. In the Talmud, it speaks as this, a Jew counted any portion of day as a day and a night. So therefore, when Jesus said in Matthew 12:40, as Jonah was in the heart of the whale, for 3 days and 3 nights, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. That means any portion of any day would be counted as a day and a night. So what day? I say a day. What about the date? Some's concerned about the day, some's concerned about the date. They say the astrologists and some historians say it was A.D. 30. Most of your Bibles is going to have a heading that says A.D. 33. Well, was it 30, 31, 32? Was it in A.D. 33? You know what? What day? I'd say, don't matter. It was a day. What was the date? I'd say, I don't know, but it was a date.
But Brother Sean, here's something I know for sure. It was a death. If it was Friday, Saturday, and rose on the third day on Sunday, that would line up with Scripture for me. Some disagree with that, and I'm not going to argue over it. It could be in AD 30, as the astrologer said. I don't know. I don't study astrology. I barely knew the moon from a star, praise God. And I think, I don't know. I really don't care. But I know this. Tommy Paulson, they took the Son of God. Before the foundation of the world, he was slain. In other words, it was settled. It was going to happen. They took him. They brought him before the high priest. They brought him from the high priest over to Pilate. They beat him, spit on him, smote him with a stick. The blood was running all over his face. They stood him for Pilate. Pilate said, I can find no fault in him at all. Why is that? Because he's holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. That's why. And they took him from Pilate to Herod. Herod seen him and wanted to see a magic trick. Herod wouldn't do a thing for Herod. He's an unbelieving dog. So Herod sent him back to Pilate. Pilate stood him before the people. The people said, give us Barabbas, crucify Jesus. And they took him to Calvary. And there they crucified him. Some things happened. Matthew 27:50 says this. He yielded up the ghost. He dismissed his spirit. You don't have the ability to do that. You can't dismiss your spirit. You may take a .22 rifle or a .450 or a .357, stick it to your temple and blow your brains out. But I'm going to tell you this. You do not have the ability to lay down and dismiss your spirit. So he died. He didn't swoon. He didn't get sick. Nobody stole his body. No, he died. What happened to him, Brother Roland, when he died? They took him down from the tomb. I may have said this here. I've said it a lot since he asked me the question. My son posed me a question one day. He said, Dad, you ever think about what happened when they took Jesus down off the cross? I said, yeah. They begged his body, took him down, wrapped him up, put him in the tomb. He said, that's all not what I'm talking about. He said, what happened to Jesus when the guy said they beat him nearly senseless? I mean, they beat the stuffings out of him. The blood was running all over him. He said, that's what I'm talking about. He said, you ever think about this? When they reached up and got the body, they got the blood all over him. They got the blood. You couldn't have done it no other way. Said they are bound to have had the blood of Christ all over them. My word, isn't that good? Isn't that good? So I don't like that old bloody stuff. That's the problem today, friend. That is the very problem. Folks don't want it. They call it the religion that where they have the slaughterhouse religion. That's the word I'm looking for. Call it slaughterhouse religion. They're looking, but I'm telling you, the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. It is a slaughter to some. Praise God, it is a crucifixion, and it was bad, and he died. And they put him in the tomb. The moment he died, I want to ask you a question. The moment Christ died on that cross, when he yielded up the ghost, when he bowed his head and said to the Father, I commend my spirit unto thee. What happened right there? What happened to the Lord? I mean, there's his body. And Paul teaches us this. Paul said he was willing to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord, but he was the Lord. What happens to him? What happens to him the moment that he dies something happens. There's a departure. He yielded up. He yielded up the ghost. The spirit, his spirit, his life left his body. He put on the image of man. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the image of man, the form of a servant. That's what he was. We go to Ephesians chapter 4. Are you there? Ephesians chapter 4, I want us to look at verse number 7. Number one today, I want you to consider this, the descending of the Lord. Now, I know I'm in deep water right here. And I know if you read a lot of commentaries and read after a lot of other preachers and sayers, here's what they're going to say about this. They're going to say that's what he done when he come down from heaven. He descended. He did descend and come down, made himself of no reputation. But I think I can train wreck that with the scripture right here. Verse number 7 of Ephesians 4, the Bible says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Don't forget where it comes from. Amen. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended on high, up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, if you go to Psalm 68, don't go there, but you're going to find this referenced in Psalm 68. When he said he ascended up on high and he gave gifts unto men. Now, that's a psalm of David. And when he ascended up on high, that refers to he's going to the holy place. Where's the holy place? Where the Ark of the Covenant is. It's set up. It's not in a temple yet, but he wanted to build one his son's going to get to. But in Psalm 68, it speaks to this. Praise God, it's a prophecy of what is going to say later on by the mouth of Paul that he ascended up. Up on high and led captivity captive. I'm going to come back to this momentarily. And this is why. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first? So we know that he ascended. That's my last point of the day. But that's not what he done first. Into the lower parts of the earth. You know what that means? That is Hades. That is the place of the dead. Now, if my high priest is going to be touched with the feeling of my infirmities, in other words, if he's going to experience for me everything that I'll experience, you know what he's going to have to do? He's going to have to go to the place where the dead go. If he never went to the place where the dead go, how would he know how that is? And he's touched with the feeling of mine infirmities. Brother Junior, he went to where the dead go. So, he descended first into the lower parts of the earth. Listen at Psalm 63, listening close. Those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. The lower parts of the earth. You know what that word means right there? Lower parts, underneath. It means underneath the earth. So he said those that try to destroy mine will go there. Acts 2 and 31, his soul was not left in hell. Hades, the place of the dead. He shall not see corruption. So it said that he descended first into the lower parts. He went there. How does he go there? He's not taking the body. He's in the spirit. You know what will happen to you if you die without Christ? You'll go to that place.
That's where you'll go. And the Bible said that the rich man in hell lift up his eyes being in torments and seeth Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom. What was that? That was the two divides, the great gulf divided. A place of faith and a place of the lost or damned. I don't go for all this stuff, preacher. Listen, you're in the majority. What I'm preaching to you today, there's not many people preach the whole counsel of God anymore. It's all sugar-coated and cream. Give you a coffee and a latte and come in and have you a snack and enjoy this thing. Man, I'm going to put you on a show. We're going to have singers like Roland Kesterson. It's going to be so good. We're going to sing a trio. Jacob's going to get up and sing about roses. Listen, we're going to help. Come in. No, friend, that's not church at all. We come into worship. We go out to serve. He said he seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. So he's descended. He didn't leave. His Holy One didn't see corruption. In other words, he didn't stay there very long. Where's he at? The body's in the tomb. The body's in the tomb. Where's Christ? He parked the body, just like I'll park this one day. If time tarry, if they have my funeral here, they'll put me up here in a box. I will get out of this vehicle one day and slam the door, step off into glory and say, good riddance. You caused me nothing but grief and trouble. That's why Paul could say it like this, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Some people's living for the next dollar so they can go to Walmart and give it to somebody else. I mean, if they could just buy something else, it'd make them happy. You can buy two barns, 25 barns. You can buy 14 cars. You can have all these things. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Things will never satisfy you. You'll get one thing and you'll need something else. Amen. He descended. 1 Peter 3:18, one of the most difficult passages in the Bible. I think there's more debate over this. And you can read 25 commentaries and get 25 different opinions. Not only was he descending, but Brother Junior, you said it, he was preaching. 1 Peter 3 and verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins. He's not doing it anymore. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You won't be right without him. You can be the best moral man, woman, boy, or girl, but you'll never be right without Christ. I'm accepted in the beloved. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh and quickened by the Spirit. Now, three times in the Word of God, or more than that, but you're going to find at least three places you're going to find that Christ was raised by God the Father in Romans 6:4. Here it says he's quickened or made alive by the Spirit. But in John, he says, I raise up myself. So there you have Christ risen by the Father, by the Son, and by the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Praise the Lord forever. You couldn't separate them no more if you wanted to. Praise God. And the Comforter has come. And he gives us comfort in that today. But by the Spirit, he's brought back to life. But by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now let me read the next verse and get it in context. Which sometime were disobedient, that means unbelievers, which once the longsuffering of God waited. When once? That's the when of this.
You want to know? For Christ. 18, 19, verse 20. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. They were saved by the water because they were in the ark. The water lifted them up before the judgment, above the judgment of God up on the earth. So here they are in the ark. The ark, a picture of Christ. And Christ is the only thing that Brother Gordon told us about this morning in Sunday school that'll save you from the wrath of God that is to come. So I don't believe I'll be taste his wrath. You will unless you've been born again. Just how it is. So you're being mean, preacher. No, I'm trying to save you today. I can't save you, but I'm trying to throw you a lifeline that if you'll come, he'll save you. Amen. Are you still with me? I want you to understand this. You know where he said they were? Preached unto the spirits in prison. This is in reference again to Hades, the place of the dead. That's where the spirits dwell. You don't see them today. You see the man, you see the person, but you don't see the spirit. Now, I'm thinking about this, Brother Randall, and here's what comes to my mind. The rest of Philippians 2, when he says, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, amen, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Where's these bowers at? Of things in heaven and things in earth, you have your opportunity today, and things under the earth. Underneath, I think I read that earlier. In the lower parts, things under the earth. Paul wasn't confused about that. He said them things that are under the earth in the place of the dead are bowing the knee. Let me tell you, when his spirit showed up that day, everything there hit its knee, praise God. Somebody said it's a song that was written, and it's a good song, but it's not accurate, scripturally accurate. Said he went down, kicked the door of hell, went in, took the keys away from the devil. Well, number one, the hell don't have a door. Number two, the devil's not there. And number three, Jesus never lost the key. He had the key all along. He never lost that key. He didn't have to take it away from the devil. So he was descending. He was preaching. Now we go back to Ephesians 4, and here's what happens. He's leading. He is leading. Wherefore, as he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gift unto me. And now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. In verse 8, when he ascended, he led captivity captive. What is that? There's a multitude of Old Testament saints that died in faith. The sacrifice was made. They were looking for a redeemer, but he hadn't shown up yet. They didn't know when he was coming, but they were looking. By faith, listen, by faith, Abraham left his homeland and went to a place that the Lord told him to go. He left by faith. He died in that faith. There's a multitude of them that died in that faith. They've not seen the Redeemer. He hadn't showed up yet. So what happens to them? The same thing that happened to Lazarus when he died in Luke 16. God clears that up for us. One died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes being in torments. And old Lazarus is comforted in the Abraham's bosom. And so we have the great divide there. We have torment and comfort. This is prior. Luke 16 is prior to the resurrection of Jesus. Is anybody with me today? Amen. Have I lost you yet? We'll get in the car, but we'll start on the way home. Pat will tell me, should have told some stories, Mike.
We have them leading. Luke 4:18, he said, he sent me, the Spirit of the Lord is upon him because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, deliverance to the captives. So here it is. He led captivity captive. He's going to preach. He's preached the receiving of sight to the blind, but he's going to preach. He's going to lead them out. If they'll heed the preaching, he'll do the leading. Hebrews 11:39, these all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. It was coming, but they didn't get it yet. They didn't get it yet, but they're going to get it. And these were the witnesses to those in chapter number 12, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Listen, they're not watching us, friend. It's we who should be watching them. They're witness to us. And they showed us what we ought to do. Some of them were cut asunder. Some of them were persecuted. I'm telling you, COVID nearly shut the church world down in America. Now, I'm not fussing at you for not coming. I am not, because I got that stuff and nearly died. I thought I was going to die. And I got to the place that I didn't care. Pat said, you're thinking wrong. I said, I'm leaving. She said, no, you're not. I said, oh, yeah, I'm gone. I got the best people in America praying for me, and I'm getting worse instead of better. That tells me God's going to take me home. And here's what you do with this, and here's what you do with that. Don't give Dusty the boat. He won't use it. Sell it. Put the money in the bank. Do this and do that. Give this gun to that one. She said, quit. It's kind of funny now. Wasn't real funny to her when I thought I was goner. And she thought she's going to be alone. Some of you here today, you're alone. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It's not a good place to be. Some didn't receive the promise. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. Amen. Lastly today, you know what we see here? We see also that he ascended. He not only descended, he not only preached, he not only led, but he also ascended. Now this is happy land. The rest of this has been kind of somber, because it's sad when lost people die. I'm going to tell you, I don't care how much you love them. They die without Christ, they never make it to heaven. Amen. Never. They're in forever torments. Forever. Where do you get that information, preacher? Out of that old book right there. Irvin, I'm basing everything I got on this. Everything I got. Everything I got. I'm basing it on this right here. That's crazy, preacher. Let's see how crazy it is. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And if I've hid the thing in my heart that'll never pass away, I'd say that puts me in pretty good shape. But not everybody's hid that word in their heart. They don't care anything about that book. They don't care anything about the Lord. They want the blessings, but they don't want a burden. They're not going to take up a cross. They're not going to be sorry for their sin. And you know what? When you're not sorry for your sin, you'll die in your sin. Amen. I don't believe that, preacher. Prove me wrong. Die in your sin. That's all you got to do. Prove me wrong. I've been with them without him when they died, and I've been with them that had him when they died. When Jerry Bubb was laying there and said, I'm dying, Mike, now what I do? I said, close your eyes, big brother, and fly home. You know what he started saying? It's snowing like crazy outside. I don't like the snow. Jerry Bubb loved it. Jerry said, I see blue. You know what that's a picture of in the Bible? The heavenlies. Mm-hmm. I see blue, Mike. Glory to God. Hey, cleared for takeoff. We see him ascending. First in John 20 and 14, some of you, I texted you about that this morning. We see him ascended from the tomb. He came out. He came up from the tomb. Brother Roland sang about it.
You're going to go 40 days out from that day, Brother Tommy. Here's what you're going to find. You're going to find him on a hillside. And he's going to tell him, "Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world." You're going to be witnesses of me in these places. And as he stands there, behold, a cloud came and received him out of their sight. What's he doing? He's ascending up. Hey, they're standing there watching it, and don't you know they're thinking, "Where's he going? Let me go too." And he's going up, and they're standing there. So he sends them two messengers by, and the angel said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you see taken up from you today shall so come in like manner." Amen. Brother Tim McCoy, what does that mean? Here's what it means. It means Jesus has ascended. Paradise is a New Testament word. You won't find it in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, in Luke 23, there's a fella hanging on the cross right beside Jesus. What changed his mind about the man in the middle? Just hours before, he's railing on him with his teeth. He's speaking words out of his mouth, and he's railing on Christ. "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." But before that day's over, when he gets through hearing Jesus speak, you know what he's saying? Brother Bob Tase, here's what he's saying. "Lord, rememberest thou me when thou comest into thy kingdom?" He said, "Lord, don't." First he called him Lord. Then he said, "Don't forget about me." And Jesus said, "Not next week, not later on." He said, "Today." So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying he descended in a hurry. It didn't take him long to do what he was going to do. And before the day was out, I'm about to have a fit. Hey, before the day was out, that old broken down thief who had died in shame was in paradise with the Lord. Amen. What a deal. He didn't have time to be baptized. He didn't have time to make restitution. He didn't have time to do any good work. But he had time to call on the Lord. You know what the Lord's give you today? Opportunity to call. But he won't make you do it. He'll woo you. He'll beg you. And so he went to paradise. Paul said, "I knew a man about 14 years ago. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. And he was caught up into paradise." Second time you see it. And he heard words that was not lawful to be uttered. In other words, I don't know who's doing the singing or what was going on, but whatever it was, Paul couldn't talk about it. I'm talking about the place where he ascended to. Number three, Jesus said it like this in Revelation 2:7. He said, "To whom? To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." You know what that does? You know what that does? That says that's the forever place. That's the forever place. Do you know that today? You know something that caught me in all this? And I'm come to the piano. Is Verena, are you still in the kitchen? If you are, come through the door. If you're not here in 2 minutes, I'll get Jewel to play. There she is. You know what the Lord's doing? He's still descending. Now, he hasn't made the great descent. Just pick something and play it. He hasn't made the great descent, but he said, "I'll send you another comforter." Well, I'm about to get happy. And the comforter comes. See, he said, "I'm in them and you're in me." And he's in us in the form of the comforter. But the comforter comes to those he's descending today. And the comforter says this. He's still doing what he done
in his time in the tomb. And the comforter says, you know what? You know you're not right with God. You know it. And on this resurrection Sunday, he could quicken you and make you walk in the newness of life. But he's not only descending in that. Look, he's preaching. I've not preached you fairy tales. I can take the Bible and show you everything that I've preached today. It's accurate in the scripture. And he's still leading some. What's got you captive today? He'll lead you out of it. Are you satisfied in your captivity? Friend, as a lot of people are. And they die right where, and where the tree falleth, so shall it lie. I don't believe any of this stuff. It's Easter. I just come to church because it's Easter and that's what you're supposed to do on Easter. Well, he's supposed to come all the time. He said, forsake not the assembling yourselves together. But it's a good day to start. The resurrection's real. And he'll lead you out of captivity today if you'll come and call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. He's still doing it, Brother Randy. The same thing he done in the tomb, he's still doing today. He's descending in the form of the Spirit, and he's wooing men to come and be saved and be forever his. And he's doing this. He's preaching to them through the preacher. How shall they hear without a preacher? He's preaching to them, and they know they need it. They know they need to be saved. They don't want to die and go to hell. You know why I got saved? Because every service, when I went to church, they preached about dying and going to hell. Every service. They didn't know nothing else. They preached on hell on Sunday morning and hell on Sunday night and Wednesday night. And after about 11 years of that, Roland, I was an 11-year-old boy myself. About 11 years of that, you get the thing, I'm going to die and go to hell. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I come seeking fire insurance, praise God. I didn't know all the other stuff I was going to get. I'm going to bless you. I'll bless your family. If you just do what I want you to. Just do what I want you to do, Mike. And then when trouble comes, and trouble will come in this world, you'll have tribulation. Oh, we're going to have trouble in this world, but you got somebody to help you. He's leading. And then one day, one glorious day, he'll call, and when you depart this life, whether we all leave together or he calls you out one at a time, we ascend to where he is. Do you know, I think I read that every 3 seconds, someone dies. One, two, three. Somebody died. Say, I'm not going to die, preacher. Some of you are frosty-headed as I am. Let me tell you, you know what that frost on your head says? A short timer. Amen. You're real short, Junior. So I'm watching this thing with my grandson. I'm learning all about cartoons. I never dreamed I'd watch. I don't like cartoons. I don't like them. I don't care for reality shows. I watch a little bit of the news, and I can't take it much anymore. Still like Gunsmoke. The good guy always wins. You mess with Matt Dillon, you're going down. Yeah, heathen, you're going to die. Robber, over. So my boy, my grandson, has got this show. What's it called? Is it Balloons? I call it Balloons. What is it? Up! I'm sitting there watching this Up thing. I thought we were going to be all happy. I'm watching it, and the mama, they grow old together, and she dies. That's the saddest thing I ever seen. I said, why's he watching this? Let's get back to cars where they're going to win a race or something. In the end of that thing, he finds him some company.
I'm telling you, there's not much in a cartoon that stirs me up, but it sparked a thought in me. Seth, here's what I thought. That's Pat and I. And there's a bunch of you in this room that's experienced that already. One left, and one had to stay. And that's sad. But one of these days, one of these days, everyone that's left in Christ, when he descends again, we ascend to meet him. For the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. What's that saying? I'm saying that body that was parked, was put in the ground, turned back to dust. And what happens? What happens? We leave this body and we go to be with the Lord. And we see through a glass darkly, but we'll know him when we get there. But on that descension day and ascension, it happens simultaneously. He descends, they ascend. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know what that ends? Separation day. Stand to your feet and bow your heads. Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.